This is a continued study in the book of Romans. This is chapter 2. I left behind the microphone from Bible study, so I'm going to do a recorded summary here of what we've studied in chapter 2 for those who have weren't at the study. And we looked in Romans chapter 1 and we saw that the wrath of God was being revealed in the judgments that fall as a result of that wrath, as a result of people being given over to their own desires. And when we come into chapter 2, we deal with more, I guess, of the same in a way, as God, by the power of the Spirit of God, reveals to us just the totality of the condition of man's depravity. And we'll see that in chapter 2 as God deals with maybe you could say a different group of people. If we looked in Romans chapter 1, you would say chapter 1 reveals the unrighteousness of man, and chapter 2 reveals the self-righteousness of man. And that's because when we get to chapter 2, there's almost like a glimpse at those who would look over the ones who have lived the depraved lifestyles that are mentioned in Romans chapter 1 and say, we are judging you because we are religious and we are good. And so Romans 2:1 says, you are inexcusable, man, whoever you are who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. For we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? And so this, Paul almost sets up a person as that he's saying, okay, listen, if you're going to sit and judge these people, and this is very important, friends, because often when we look at people who are living in what we would consider a depraved lifestyle, we are quick to pass judgment and not to recognize that we have the same sinful nature and how easy it is for us to fall into sin. And it's vital for us to realize that, or else we will begin to compare ourselves among ourselves. The scriptures tell us that to compare ourselves among ourselves is not a wise thing to do. And so here Paul wants it clearly understood that we may think that we are better. We may think that we are doing a better job than others. But we must understand that we are sinners all. That all of us are under sin. And because all of us are under sin, all of us end up under condemnation. Remember, we saw in chapter 1 the goodness of the gospel, in the earlier part of chapter 1, and the glory of it, the power of it, the righteousness of it, all of these glorious things. But the problem was man's sin in chapter 1, and in chapter 2 we're going to discover man's sin again. And I guess in chapter 1 we're looking at man's sin in the depravity of man in that way. But in chapter 2 we're looking at what looks like holy righteousness and saying, no, there's depravity here too. And so we are not going to find a salvation nor a savior anywhere in the human race and in man's ability, or man's best attempts at righteousness are not going to cut it. Because the righteousness of man is really better termed the self-righteousness of man. And the self-righteousness of man is no good. Man's righteousness is not the same as God's. And we need God's righteousness. And so what we understand in when we look in chapter 2 is that there isn't any question that God is going to judge everyone alike. Romans 2:11 says there is no partiality with God. So God looks upon all of us as sinners. And so we see then some measurements of the judgments of God in Romans 2, and we're going to look at what those measurements are. And as we look at them, it'll give us a little picture of how God judges. And that's what we find here in Romans 2. And that ensures that his judgment is right and is just, and that it will cover the gamut of all those who have sinned, not just those who have sinned in our eyes, but those who have sinned in the eyes of God. And so we see that in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "We know the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things." And so we can see that God's judgment is according to truth. It isn't according to fables. It isn't according to the what we could make ourselves look like in the sight of God. A person can be a hypocrite and pretend, and lots of people could believe that, but God, the Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So God's judgment is according to truth. He sees things as they really are. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And as Paul writes this, of course, as I said, he's writing to a group of people that would proclaim themselves righteous, better than the others. And as a matter of fact, a little later on in Romans 2, he speaks to the Jews, and that the Jews were considering themselves much better than the Gentiles because of their position and their calling, and because they had the oracles of God. They had special privileges, and it's true that they did have the oracles of God and special privileges, but that does not make them righteous. And that is important to understand, because God's judgment is according to truth. That is, the word of God is truth. That is, the words of Jesus Christ are truth. Now, I want to just make a little statement here, because I've often heard the statement, "Don't judge or you'll be judged." And that is true. And that is what we find in these first verses here. However, we must understand some things here, that God is going to judge the world, and that God is judging the world, and that he has every right to judge the world, and his judgments are true. They are always the truth. Now, that judgment of truth brings out a fact. I think it's in John chapter 12, the last verse, where Jesus said that his words would judge people in the last day. Now, I want you to think about this in terms of your life and the lives of others as well. It is right for us to proclaim the truth, so that if someone is living in a sinful lifestyle, in a gracious and loving and kind way, we can point out the truth that that is sin. Now, someone might say, "Well, you're judging me, and you're not supposed to judge." But that isn't the case. In that situation, what we are doing is we are proclaiming what the judgments of God are on that particular lifestyle, so that the person could be warned. And so you are not always passing judgment on the person, but you are declaring the judgments of God on sin that will fall on a person who does not repent. And so there are times when judgments are right. The Bible says, "Judge righteous judgment as well." And so there must be great care taken that we are not judging by making ourselves better and comparing ourselves to others. That isn't the standard of judgment. The standard of judgment is the truth, and it is the word of God. So we see there that God's judgment is according to truth. Not only is it according to truth, but it's also according to works. And if you're going to stand under the judgment of God, you'll be judged according to what's real. Not what's pretend, but what's really real, what's in your heart. And not only what's real, but also according to what you have done. And we see that in Romans here, chapter 2, and that is verse 6 and 8. He will render to each one according to his deeds. And in that place, then we can also understand that it speaks here, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, the Jew first and also the Greek. So now he gives the standards. And he says, okay, everyone that does this, okay. Everyone who does that, okay, this is the consequences of it. And so a judgment according to works. is given here. Now, people say, well, you know, we can't be saved by our works. And of course we cannot be. And the reason being that if you were judged, my friend, according to your works, how would you measure up? How would you really measure up? I want to tell you that you would not meet the righteous standards of God. And so, though God's judgment is according to truth, what that does is, in reality, is put me in a place of condemnation. If God's judgment is according to works, in reality, that puts me in a place of condemnation. Now, I'm not saying that to discourage us. I'm saying that to show us that the judgments of God are given here and explained out here so that we could understand the futility of finding salvation within ourselves, of finding salvation from our works or according to our conduct or who we are, what our position is, whether we're religious or irreligious. We will not find salvation there. Not only in Romans 2:5, it also indicates that God's judgment is according to righteousness and the revelation of the righteous judgments of God, it says in the end of Romans 2:5, and that there's nothing wrong with his judgments. They are righteous in every way. And you know, the Bible tells us what our righteousness is in Romans. In Isaiah chapter 63, 6 says, all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags. The next judgment that God's judgment is according to, and that's without partiality. God judges without partiality. Romans 2:11, for there is no partiality with God. Now, what does that mean? That means that nobody is favored over somebody else because of who they are, because of their family, because of their race, because of their religion, because of their creeds, because of their conducts. God's judgment is without partiality. No one stands before God and pleads that they could be saved because they are a Catholic, a Protestant, a Baptist, a United, or a whatever. None of those things carry weight with God. And indeed, in this passage here comes a startling revelation, especially to the Jewish people, because they felt God's judgments were with partiality, especially favored. But that's not the case. God's judgments are without partiality in every way. God's judgments in dealing with the Jew as well as the Gentile are going to have a level playing field in the person of Jesus Christ being the only Savior for either or. And so they will not be saved just because they're a Jew, and they will not be saved just because they're a Gentile. The only way that we'll be saved is by faith in Jesus Christ. They are without partiality. And also we discover that God will judge according to opportunity. And so he speaks about this in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, on down. It says, as many have sinned without the law will perish without the law, as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these also not having the law are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves and their thoughts accusing or excusing them. So, in these passages of Scripture, it speaks about, okay, people who have the law, they live according to the law they have. Well, they try to. In other words, if I never read the Bible, if I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, and if I lived in some other continent where nothing of these things were exposed to me, I would still have a set of standards that I would think would be right to live by. And the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't be able to keep my own standards. No one is able to keep their own standards when they set up. No matter how low those standards are, no matter how different they might be, we don't live up to our own standards. The standards are there, we seek to live up to them, but we fail. And in that sense, all of us know what it is to come short of the standards that we have set. And so here Paul writes and says, even the unbelievers who don't know the gospel or don't know the Old Testament scriptures, in this case he's writing to the Jew, or using the Jew as a picture here to understand these things, because it says here in Romans 2:17, indeed you are called a Jew and you rest on the law and you make your boast in God. And so he's giving them three things that they would say. They would say, you're called a Jew? I'm a Jew. You're resting on the law? I rest on the word of God. From that would be the Old Testament compilation. And you make your boast in God. And on top of that, you know his will, you approve the things that are excellent, and you're instructed out of the law, you're confident that you're a guide to the blind, and a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, and have the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Wow, what a list. This is the list of the self-righteous. This is the list of someone who says, I have it all together, and I have it all together, and they do not. And what Paul is writing about here is saying, your standard of judgment that you're going to be under is going to be according to opportunity. The more you know, the greater judgment you come under. And so in that being the case, then sometimes the person who knows more is going to fall under a greater judgment than the person who knows less. And so the very thing that these people would be boasting about, to say, I have all these things, so I am in better place, there's almost a warning here to say, you might be in a worse place, because the measure of judgment that will come against you will be greater. To whom much is given, much will be required. So taking the position of the self-righteous is a dangerous position. And it's a position where we will fall under the judgments of God. And in Romans 2:16 it says that God also will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So nothing is going to be hidden in that day. All will be revealed. And there will be an accountability for all. And so we have the down and outer and the up and outer, but both are outer. Both are outer, out of the righteousness of God. No matter who we are, no matter what we have done, we are all under sin. And as a result of that, we must understand that, or we will find ourselves in a situation where we will find ourselves under the judgment of God. God's judgments are righteous, they're just in every way. And so in the conclusion part of Romans 2, we have warning, be very careful. You make your boast in the law, Romans 2:23, but do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Be very careful that outward and inward match. Be very careful that you are not a self-righteous hypocrite. Watch out for outward religion and no inward life. For listen to this conclusion in Romans 2:28, so that you might understand something here. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So outward religion will not cut it. I'm a Jew. I'm a descendant of a Jew. My father was a Jew. My grandfather was a Jew. Therefore, I'm chosen of God, and I'm okay. He says, no, you're not one outwardly, you're one inwardly. That's the command. That's the call that's given here, so that we might not rely nor rest on outward form instead of inward reality. The inward reality, if the searchlight of God is revealing what you are on the inside, the conclusion will be, oops, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner too. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and so are you. So it won't matter if my father was a Baptist, my grandfather was, or my great-grandfather, or a Catholic, or whatever. None of those things are going to matter, my friends. All are being discovered here in the Scriptures as being under the judgments of God. And those judgments are stringent, they're real, and they bring forth the wrath of God. And we cannot get away from that. We must understand this. If we will appreciate the gospel and the salvation that Jesus Christ is bringing to us, we must appreciate how lost we really are. And if you're listening to this, and somehow you have put yourself up above others because of your religion, race, creed, color, whatever or your conduct is somehow, oh, I'm a much better living person than that other person. If in some way you have thought that you are going to discover salvation and you are going to be righteous in God's sight and you're going to pass the bar of the judgment of God by your conduct and by your righteousness, all Romans 2 is for you. And it's to reveal to you, you aren't going to make it. Not that way, you're not. So do not put confidence in yourself. Do not be puffed up, self-righteous, proud, to look down upon those who have perhaps fallen deep into the cesspools of sin and think somehow that the smell of the cesspool is not on you. It's on us all. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen. Gentile or Jew, all of us find ourselves under condemnation. We will see more of that again in Romans 3, because Paul wants us to understand, the Spirit of God wants us to understand how totally depraved we are, so that we might find a Savior. If you're going to cling to some of your own righteousness and think, oh, well, you know, I'm not that bad, my friends, you're going to have a hard time finding a Savior. You're going to be looking to yourself for salvation instead of to Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you'll bless the Word of God and the truths that are in it as we've just summarized this chapter, Lord, dealing with those who consider themselves self-righteous, Lord, there's no hope there. Come, sink that into all of our hearts so that we might discover the real righteousness that you offer to us. Thank you, Lord, that you judge rightly. We dare not, Lord, take away your judgments. We dare not try to make them paltry, or that they're not going to be as true and as straightforward as you've declared they are. But Lord, instead, cause us to realize that if we are going to stand up to the bar of the judgment of God, we're going to need a Savior. We thank you that you've sent one in the person of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.